We have Michael Thompson on the other line right now. He just joined us. You were talking about memories of the Lakers coming to town. Lakers usually come to town with Michael Thompson, a Lakers broadcaster, obviously Clay's dad, and he is the host of Thompson and Trudell on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. He called so much of Kobe's career from 2003 through 2016. Michael Thompson here with Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Michael, we thank you very much for joining us today, especially someone like you, so close to this situation, I'm guessing. We really appreciate your time. How are you doing today?
Having a hard time, man. It does feel like a family member has passed away. We've all been through this in our life, have a close family, a loved one passed away, and this sort of feels like that, because even though Kobe's not related to me and to you and to millions of any of us listening right now or who watched him, he felt like a part of the family because we followed him so closely. We either hated him because he beat our team, or we loved him because we rooted for him, but we all respected him because of the way he competed and the way he looked at life, you know, just getting the most out of life. So this is tough, and I always remember, not so much Kobe, the player I'm thinking about. Obviously, we've missed him now for several years, been retired. I've been thinking about and reflecting on the personal times I've had with Kobe off the court or even in the gym where no one else is around, just me and him in the gym. I used to do a radio show in L.A., so I'd have to go to the arena hours before and do the show on location, as you guys know about. And this would be around 7:30 tip-off, so I would be in the building around 3 p.m. doing my show. And around 3:30, Kobe would be in there shooting by himself, all by himself. The lights are on the arena. There's no security, nobody to rebound for him. He's just in there working out on his game on his own. And since I was doing the show there just by myself with the engineer, when Kobe would be finished shooting, he'd come over and just sit down and talk with me, just off the air and just talking about life, talking about the game, and just me and him having one-on-one conversations. And this carried on for a couple of years while I was doing my show. And I remember that. And then back of the plane, when we'd travel on the team plane, he'd often come back there and I would sit together and just talk. And special as that was, the most special thing about Kobe that I remember is the relationship he had with Clay. When Clay was a young player in high school and then going on to college, I remember he would go over to Irvine, University of Irvine, California Irvine, where Kobe would go and work out. And he would come home all excited. Hey, Dad, I got to work out with Kobe today. And Kobe was working out with me and giving me advice. And that's how much he meant to young players like Clay on their way up, how they idolized him and hung onto his every word. And that meant so much to me that Kobe would take his time to work with a young player like Clay, just getting ready to go into college and, you know, basically start his career. But Kobe would take time to work out with people like him and pass on advice to people like Clay and the other players like Clay, too. So that's what was so special about him, how he took time to help other people.
The outside view of him was that he was sort of this monomaniacal hyper-perfectionist throughout most of his career. When, in your opinion, did he start to feel more like a family member of the Lakers at large?
Well, I obviously came in as a 17-year-old and had to establish his legacy and establish his career, establish himself in the league. So we know nobody knew just exactly what they had. They knew they had a talented 17, 18-year-old kid, but obviously we were hoping he would develop into something special, which he obviously did. But I would say by the time he got into his second year and people saw how precocious he was as a 17-year-old, I think most Laker fans, all of them, realized, boy, we got something unique and special here. This might be the next one, because we kept looking, who's going to be that next Michael Jordan? And as an 18 and 19-year-old, you could see that this is it. He is the chosen one. He's the one who's going to carry on from Michael Jordan. And boy, did he ever live up and surpass that expectations.
We've heard a lot today about his basketball career, obviously, and we all saw it. I'm interested, especially since you spent so much time talking to him. He strikes me as a very specific his brain is a very specific thing. His brain sort of set him apart from a lot of other players, I think. What made him special, like, as a thinker, as a creative?
He had a curious side of him. He was a curiosity. He always wanted to know about things, find out about things, how he could be better, find out why certain things worked and why they didn't work in business and in relationships and professionally, of course, and on the basketball court. So he was always trying to find new ways to succeed. and why things didn't work out. And he just had a very curious and ambitious mind, and he just wanted to be the best at anything he did, and he was just a fast learner. I mean, the guy spoke like 3 or 4 languages. I'm still trying to perfect English. This guy spoke Spanish, Italian, German, English. I mean, this guy was just an amazing individual, amazing human being. And now as he was going into his 40s, he was showing everybody what a great entrepreneur he could be, not just in the basketball world, but in the business world, and then helping out men and women. You know, he was really into girls' basketball and supporting the women's side of sports, too. So he was a very well-rounded individual.
Michael Thompson joining us here with memories of Kobe Bryant. We've just gotten the news that in the aftermath of Kobe Bryant's passing, tomorrow's Lakers-Clippers game has been postponed. Did you know of that?
No, nobody from the Lakers have called me and told me that. Yeah, obviously I would have found out about it, but
right.
This is breaking news to me. So, wow, that's huge.
I'm almost surprised that it's happening because I thought that yesterday, you know, the NBA not going dark, not canceling games is kind of the way Kobe would have wanted it.
You know, I was thinking the same thing when people say, well, what should we do? What should we do? And if Kobe could tell us, he'd say, bleep that, go out and play, do your job, do what you're supposed to do, do what you love to do. That's, to me, that's how, from knowing Kobe, that's how I think he would respond if he could talk to us right now.
What's also interesting, too, Michael, and obviously this isn't your department at all, but the Lakers have yet to tweet anything to their 8.3 million followers about Kobe Bryant's passing.
Maybe they're still in shock. You know they're going to do something eventually. Why it hasn't been done yet, I don't know. But, you know, everybody at Laker headquarters is probably still in shock.
Yeah.
Trying to process this. So we got to give them time. You know, we all grieve differently. And
yep.
Maybe they just need a day or two just to collect their thoughts.
Most of the current players sort of viewed him as their Jordan, the way that the previous generation had Jordan as their Jordan. Given the fact that he became this guy for an entire generation of players, is it likely that his legacy will best be told by not only his contemporaries, but the generations that come after, as opposed to, say, you know, people who played in the 70s might have had Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell as their sort of ideals? Does Kobe sort of resonate beyond that point?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. His legacy is going to live forever, be passed on from generation to generation, just like people are doing with Magic and Bird, Dr. J, Wilt Chamberlain, who came before all those guys. Of course, Michael Jordan. Then you had Kobe, and LeBron will be in the same situation when he retires. And when he's well into his 50s, 60s, and 70s, he'll still be talked about the LeBron era. So, yeah, Kobe's legacy, just like with Muhammad Ali and all these other great legends throughout history, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, will be told and passed on forever.
Have you talked to Clay, Michael? And do you know what his response was?
I didn't get to talk to him. He called me, but we were in flight en route from Philadelphia, so I wasn't able to take his call 36,000 feet in the air. And I've been meaning to call him back, but he did talk to my wife, talked to his mother, and she said he was all broken up about it and just devastated like everybody else and just was in shock. But I'll talk to him. He's in the Bahamas right now, just helping with the Thompson Foundation's hurricane relief down there. But he'll be back in a day or two, so we'll sit down and talk about it.
I'm sure he will. Michael, thank you for sitting down and talking about all of this with us today. We really appreciate it. Do you have a go-to Kobe Bryant recollection that like hits you first? What's the Rorschach test? What do you remember first about Kobe when you start thinking of him?
That's a great question. He had so many legendary moments in his career. Probably the one that stands out the most, you know, we all know about his 81 points and his 60-point last game. But I remember against the Indiana Pacers. Remember when he had that bad ankle and nobody knew or thought he was going to play? And Shaq fouled out of the game, and Kobe said, don't worry, big fella, I got this. And in the overtime, he scored like every point to basically seal the NBA title for the Lakers. I remember him playing on that bad ankle or playing hurt so many times where the average player would just sit out for a week or so, or at least not play that night. But unless he tore or broke something, he wasn't going to let any kind of injury hold him out of a game because he had that kind of physical toughness to go along with his mental toughness.
I tell you what, Mike, we really appreciate your time and our condolences to the entire Laker organization. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure, but I just wish it was under better circumstances this time around.
Indeed. Michael Thompson here on 95.7 The Game, Lakers broadcast.